had someone from our congregation ask me, now that we're finished with Titus, where are we going? And we had a few sermons on the book of Judges, particularly we looked at the life of Samson. So now we're going to be looking at the book that immediately precedes the Judges, looking at Joshua chapter 1 this morning, the first 9 verses. And Joshua, the book of Joshua, begins on page 210. Joshua chapter 1, the first 9 verses. Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's as far as reading in Joshua chapter 1. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these first 9 verses together this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you start a new stage in life, it's very important that you start that new stage out on the right foot. Perhaps when you're starting a new school year, or perhaps you're starting out a marriage together, or starting a new job, it's important to start things out with a wise trajectory, setting before your feet the way in which you are to go. This evening, as we begin our series through Joshua, we find ourselves at a time of transition. We are moving from not only the rule of Moses as that servant leader, that prophet that the Lord had given to his people. We are moving from the books of Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible, to a historical narrative, which is going to tell us what's going to be happening. But in many ways, this is also moving into the prophetic literature, where we find that the Lord is going to be speaking through Joshua, speaking to him, but also working through the life of Joshua to give us a picture that will give us indications of what Jesus Christ is going to do with, in, and through the church. In other words, as we're reading through this book of Joshua, we're going to see that the Lord is going to use Joshua to be the sword of justice. As the Lord Jesus Christ rules and goes forth victoriously, triumphantly, destroying strongholds, liberating his people, granting his people that inheritance, possession of the land, we're getting a little picture of what Jesus Christ is currently doing and will do when Christ comes back in and through the work of Joshua. Now, a lot of people have taken offense to the work that Joshua performed, all the bloodshed that we're going to see, the death of untold millions of people at the hands of the army of Israel. But we have to remember the redemptive context. This land, the land of Canaan, belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to the Canaanites. It belongs to the Lord. It had been promised, swore to Moses on oath. This land belongs to the Lord, and the Lord is giving it, he's sovereignly bestowing it to his people. But not only that, we are finding a battle between good and evil. Who does the Lord delight in? Who will possess this land? Is it the wicked, idolatrous Canaanite people? Or is it the people of the Lord? Well, as I said, we're at the edge of the promised land. We're at a time of transition. Our passage begins by saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you, therefore, Joshua, go forth. Go forth and lead my people. Now this will be the second time that Joshua has been in the land. He already spied out the land back in Numbers 13. And Joshua was one of the faithful servants spying out the land, saying, let's go. The Lord has promised this land to us. Let's go take it. Well, now here, after 40 years of wandering, the Lord has brought him back to the land to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And we consider this theme that God's servant is commissioned to lead God's people into the promised land. And as we're looking at this commission, I want you to pay a particular attention where there's a theme that runs through this commandment, this word that the Lord gave to Joshua, of being strong and courageous. Being strong and courageous. It may be that Joshua was quite timid or afraid. He had been the second one for so many years. Moses was the one who had led the people. Moses is the one by whose hand had all these mighty, miraculous signs and wonders, crossing of the Red Sea, striking the rock, causing water to come forth. Now all this lays on Joshua's shoulders. Be strong and courageous, the Lord says again and again and again. And as this passage will continue, even the congregation, the Israelites, are going to say to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. Well, how can a leader, God's chosen leader, be strong and courageous? What sort of things should he do? What sort of things should he remember? In our first point, then, we see that the first way in which Joshua can be strong and courageous is by remembering that he is not alone. The first way in which Joshua can be strong and courageous is by remembering that God is with him. Here we find this in verse 5 and verse 9. Verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And then on to verse 9 as well. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The commandment to be strong and courageous is rooted in the promise that I will go with you. Joshua is not alone. He is not expected to lead the Israelites by his own wisdom and strength. He is going with the Lord's presence. Now we have to remember a generation ago what happened with the Israelites is that Moses interceded for the Israelites. This is back in Exodus 33. As the Israelites were around Mount Sinai, they were going to be sent from Mount Sinai. Moses pleaded with the Lord. In Exodus 33, do not send us from this place unless you are going with us. Do not cause us to depart unless you remain. Your presence goes with us. And throughout the life of Moses, God spoke to his servant Moses as a man would speak to a friend face to face. And now this transition time, the one who God had spoken to face, remember Moses' face was shine because he had spoken to the Lord, he had seen God's face. And now in this time of transition, this great uncertainty and danger, God's presence is reminded to Joshua and assured to the people, I am with you. I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, I will not abandon you here at the edge of the promised land. Now, this presence is not just the general presence that God is omnipresent. God is present everywhere. Yes, that is true. This is the particular and special presence of the Holy Spirit. God would fellowship with them. He would tabernacle with them. He would dwell in their midst. I will not leave you. I'll not abandon you. I'll not ignore you. Your prayers will be heard and answered. Your sacrifices will be a pleasing, a sweet-smelling aroma in my nostrils. Wherever you go, I will be with you. Now, why is this so encouraging? Why did Joshua need to hear this? Well, remember what Joshua is going to face. Joshua is going to go up against giants, strongholds, fortified cities, horses and chariots, swords and spears. The Canaanite people were far more numerous and far more militarily advanced than the Israelites. There's a huge territory that needs to be conquered. The enemy is hostile and ruthless. And the Israelites, what do they have? Well, they don't have armor and horses. In fact, they had near a sword. No military might to speak of. Joshua is leading a group of former slaves, trained shepherds, against military powerhouses. Yet the Lord is with them. And if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? I am with you, the Lord says. You, Joshua, you are my chosen servant, taking up that mantle of Moses. Joshua is going to be the mediator and a prophet in Israel. He's going to speak on behalf of the Lord. He's going to lead the Israelites. And since the Lord was with them, they could go forth with all confidence and hope. Now, this promised presence of the Lord is not something which closes at the end of Joshua's ministry. In fact, Hebrews 13, verse 5 puts it this way: our Lord will never leave us. I'll never forsake you. As God's people, we have that same assurance. We have Jesus Christ, our mediator, his name, Emmanuel, God with us, interceding at the Father's right hand, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, so that wherever we go, God is going with us, in us. And that hope, that confidence that we have, that God is with us, going with us wherever we go, is what enables us to be strong and courageous. For where can I go apart from his Spirit? Like the Israelites, we are engaged in battle. Now, the battle that the Israelites are going to face was a real, literal, physical battle, but it was also a spiritual battle. Because what's going to lead to degradation throughout the pages of the Judges is the Israelites begin to commit idolatry, which leads to military defeat. But we as God's people are engaged in just as much of a battle as the Israelites. Our battle is not, as we read in 2 Corinthians 10, not against flesh and blood. We battle. Our weapons are not of the flesh. We are engaged in battle against the old man, the world, and the devil. How can we have good comfort and courage? How can we be strong and courageous, knowing that we face a battle, an enemy who is 10 times more ruthless than any that the Israelites would face on the field of battle? It's only if the Lord goes with us. That's good news for us, that we can have trust, that we can have confidence in our God and his presence as he goes with us wherever we go. So now that we've seen in our first point that we can be strong and courageous because God's presence remains with us, in our second point then, we see that there is a responsibility that we are called, we're called to do something. Obligation coupled to the promise. And we find this here in verse 6. Really, it runs through our passage here. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to give to their forefathers. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have success. God's people being charged to be strong, courageous, to stand firm in the strength of the Lord, resting on the knowledge that God is with them wherever they go, does not mean that they are not called to respond, but actually they're to respond by doing something to get ready to be prepared for battle. Now imagine Joshua sitting here on the edge of the promised land. How is he to get ready to be prepared for battle? Should he go out and buy a bunch of swords and spears and hire some military mercenaries to help on his behalf, getting some horses and chariots? As a leader in Israel, what's going to prepare him to be a faithful leader of God's people? How should he prepare? Should he go over different military tactics, training manuals of how to be a good king or a good leader in Israel? How should he respond to the fear, to the pressure of all these things being placed upon him? Well, what the Lord tells him to do might be shocking, because what the Lord tells him to do in order to prepare himself and to get ready for battle is strangely simple. Joshua, what you need to do to prepare yourself to be a leader in Israel, did you catch it? You need to read the Bible. You need to go back to the Word. Strength is not found in strong walls, but in devotion to the Word. Now, this is radically opposed to everything that the world says. Victory in Israel is not going to come with horses and chariots. It's not by man's hand. And the way in which Joshua is to prepare himself for battle is by going to the Word. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the best training for the leaders in Israel is for them to do Bible study. I mean, this is what sort of training program is this? For Joshua standing here, the Lord says, be strong and courageous and go back to the Word. Weapons of warfare, putting on the armor of God, as Ephesians 6 would put it. As God's people, when we are called to be strong and courageous, the way in which courage is built within our hearts is as we go back to the Word, we read the Word, we meditate upon it. His Word being our delight, learning to lead upon Him and to follow where He goes, learning to submit to the teaching of His Word and meditating upon it. Now here, Joshua, the books of the Law of Moses will be the first five books that have been written by this point, for the most part, and Joshua is going to be going back and he's going to be reading them and meditating upon them and considering everything that the Lord had revealed to Moses and passed down to him. And it says that you need to let it be before you, meditating upon it day and night. Now, the reason meditation on God's Word is so important, because we are so prone to forget. We're prone to ignore various aspects. We're prone to be ignorant, to do our own things or to go our own way. But God's Word is to be upon your mind, to be meditating upon it day and night, being trained and equipped for good works. So the way in which Joshua is to prepare himself for being a leader in Israel is by going back to the Word. And nothing produces a confidence in the hearts of God's leaders, in the hearts of God's people, like going back to the Word, reading what God has done in the past, meditating upon it, and committing yourself to obedience of it. So the second thing that leads to being strong and courageous for Joshua is reading God's Word. Right? Number one, remembering God is with you, God's presence. Number two, reading the Bible. That brings us to our last point then, which is a prosperous outcome. It says here at the end of verse 8 that you will have good success. And at the end of verse 9, that God is with you wherever you go, that your way may be prosperous. Now, what does it mean to have good success? Well, success is defined as the accomplishing the purpose set for you by the Lord. For Joshua and for the Israelites, that would mean taking possession of the land promised to their forefather Abraham. Now, this success that they are called to have in taking possession of the land that the Lord has given to them, I mean, this is a significant amount of land that needs to be won by victory. And the recipe for success is not going to be found in having a specific military of advantage, but it is once again found in obedience to God's Word. So what we find here is that the success for Joshua is found in his reading and submission to God's Word. And by way of this success, there is victory in the land of Canaan. What does it mean for us as Christians to have success? What is Christian success defined as? Well, Christian success is really defined as communion with God, obeying His Word, and one day living with Him in all glory. What way by which can a Christian have this success? Once again, there's no surprises here. The way in which we have success is by reading God's Word, submitting to it, and obeying it. Unfortunately, as we will read throughout the coming pages, the Israelites never take full possession of the land. There remains only a partial occupation. One of the primary reasons that the Israelites do not end up taking full possession of this land is because they, through their compromise or their slothfulness in their obedience. The Israelites will serve the Lord faithfully throughout the years in which Joshua lives and the elders who served with Joshua as well. But as soon as these leaders die, what ends up happening in Israel is that the Israelites, as we read again and again in the book of Judges, there is no king in Israel and everyone does what is right in their own eyes. And the expansion stops. They do not receive the full possession of that land, and the conquest ends. Through intermarriage, through taking on the idols of the nations, instead of expanding their land, the land starts to contract. What the Israelites need is they need someone who will lead them and someone who lives and does not die. Really, the book of Joshua starts and ends with funerals. It starts with the death of Moses, and as Moses passes that baton on to Joshua, Joshua runs faithful throughout the years of his ministry. But when Joshua dies, so also that hope of having all those promises fulfilled comes to an end. So as we come to the end of the book of Joshua, we'll come to a point where we have to say to ourselves, is there nothing more? Is there nothing better? Where is the success that we were promised? Where is this victory that the Lord had given to Abraham by way of oath. When we come to the end of the book of Joshua, we'll be reminded of someone greater. And throughout the ministry of Joshua, we're going to be giving little glimpses, little pictures, little tastes of the work that Jesus Christ is one day going to perform perfectly. As you may know, the name Joshua is simply the Old Testament version of Jesus. Both Joshua and Jesus, their name means this: the Lord God saves, or the Lord God gives the victory. We could put it another way by saying the battle belongs to the Lord. Victory is found only by the Lord's hand. What we need is a leader who will perfectly meditate upon God's law day and night. One who will be perfectly strong and courageous. One who would bring the battle to the enemy and defeat every foe. At the end of this book, where Joshua falls short, we will be able to see Jesus Christ in all his beauty, in all his victory, and in all his glory. Where throughout Joshua, as we come to the end of Joshua, we'll find there's a lot of enemies that still need to be addressed. We can give thanks that we have Jesus Christ, the greater Joshua, who has now defeated and continues to defeat every foe. To conclude, the sermon this evening has really just given us a bird's eye view of what to expect through the pages of Joshua. Indeed, Joshua, being the Old Testament version of Jesus, is going to give us little pictures of what it means for the Lord to bring victory and success. And the way in which we, as God's people, have victory and success is by following our perfect Joshua, Jesus Christ, one who has earned an inheritance for us and is currently building a home for us in glory. One who, by his very nature, has secured the presence of our God, being our Emmanuel, God with us. As God's people, we can be strong and courageous when we remember the presence of God, and we can be faithful as we follow our Savior from victory unto victory. At the end of this book, we're not going to give thanks for Joshua. We're going to give thanks for Jesus, who in his hand has made our way prosperous and given us good success. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that here at the beginning of Joshua, we have but a small picture, a glimpse of what Jesus Christ is doing and has done. We thank you that in Jesus we have your presence, that in Jesus we have your word, and in Jesus we have victory. May we learn to trust in Christ all the more as we see Christ working in and through us by his Spirit and word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 544. 544. We're going to stand and sing, "Lead On, O King Eternal." 544. Our offering this evening is going to be collected for Ileana. So this, according to our insert, so the insert in our bulletin is the correct offering. So the offering this evening is for Ileana, and this morning's offering was for Mid-America. So our offering will now be received for Ileana Christian High School.